The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman, having a great Sunday morning. Great to be with you and helping you enjoy that. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be speaking with Stephen Poulter of Express Property Tax Appeals, a new sponsor to the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Kisisa, mostly about the sin of the golden calf and the repentance that came afterwards. We'll see what we talk about. And that's in Exodus, in the book of Exodus in chapter 31. We've got wonderful Jewish music, real assortment for you, an awesome Hasidic story at the end. Stay all the way to the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A commuter bus from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv crashed into a truck on the side of the highway, killing six passengers and wounding 12. The bus driver was talking on his cell phone at the time of the crash. He was recently reinstated after a two-year suspension for crashing a bus in 2014. The driver is under house arrest and is charged with second-degree murder. Two 14-year-old Palestinian terrorists stabbed two Israelis at a supermarket north of Jerusalem. The Israeli victims, ages 21 and 35, were evacuated to a Jerusalem hospital, where the 21-year-old later died. The 14-year-olds were also taken to the hospital after being shot by store patrons. The first bodies of Palestinian terrorists who were killed while attacking Jews in Jerusalem was returned under a strict agreement with Jerusalem police. Under the conditions, the funeral must be within 3 hours of the body's return, must be quiet, attended by no more than 50 people, and a $5,000 refundable security deposit must be given. Former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert started his 19-month prison term for corruption. Olmert is the first Israeli Prime Minister to serve time. His sentence had initially been 6 years, but was controversially reduced on appeal to the 19 months. The IDF created a special cyber unit to prevent attacks against Israeli infrastructure. The units will protect the electric grid, water, nationwide banking system, and cellular phone network. And finally, Denmark's parliament announced a new Medal of Civil Valor that will honor Israeli security guard Dan Uzan, who was killed last year while protecting the Great Synagogue in Copenhagen during a terrorist attack. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music, and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on with Mr. Stephen Poulter of Express Property Tax Appeals, a proud sponsor of the Jewish Hour. How are you today, Stephen?
I'm good. How are you, Rabbi?
Good. Thank God. We're doing well. So tell us, we'll be playing a commercial at the end of the interview, but tell us about the, what is this idea of property tax relief, if you don't mind?
Well, as many of your listeners know, every February, March, they receive in the mail a property tax assessment, which is basically what the local municipality, city, township, whatever the case may be, is telling them the value of their house is. And here in Michigan, 50% of that is what we call the assessed value, off which they base your property taxes. Everyone pays property tax, whether you're a residential or commercial property owner. That's part and parcel of, well, being an American citizen. I believe the lion's share of that money goes to fund the public school system. That can vary from city to city and municipality to municipality, of course, and sometimes significantly. But all in all, everyone gets those, and we here at Express Property Tax Appeals tries to go in and make the argument that they got it wrong, and in fact, it should be reduced accordingly. You know, the heyday was, of course, 08, 9, 10, 11, 12, let's say, due to the real estate values when we had that big crash in 08, and so real estate values really dropped significantly. So that's where people like myself were able to save a boatload of money for clients. So you can say, you know, that's the carrot and the stick. On the one hand, that's bad news that it was a bad real estate market, but on the other hand, there were significant savings. Today, you see a little bit less of it simply because, you know, real estate values have stabilized, possibly even increased, but there's still plenty of opportunity. And so we keep on doing that and campaigning, and it's been okay.
Okay, that's interesting. So how does this work? You're talking now, I get my assessment every year on my house, and I'm a little bit miffed that I have to pay, like, they have this thing where they figure in, like, because I have a garbage disposal, for example, which cost me $125 to put in, that it makes my house more valuable, and therefore I'm paying $13 a year in property taxes for it. Is this something that I can have, like, you know, I know $13 is not a lot to get worried about, but what are we talking about here, Stephen?
Well, I mean, firstly, as I have to point out and be very clear, and in my commercial, it, you know, that's clearly spelled out, that I don't touch residential. And the reason I don't touch residential is because there's really no money in it for me. There is, of course, for the homeowner, but it's, you're not talking significant dollars like you just said yourself, you know, here and there, $13, $20, $50. So it's not something that would be cost-effective to retain someone like myself. It just doesn't make sense. Whenever I get a client that does call me for residential, I say, listen, save my time and your money and go ahead and appear in front of the March Board of Review, which everyone is entitled to do for free. You know, you get the dates with your assessment. There are dates in the assessment that says, hey, if you would like to protest, say you're in Oak Park, Southfield, these are the dates. There will be public hearings. You come down, you appear. Usually it's open for maybe 3, 4, 5 days. There is a complete independent board, impartial, made up of usually 3 to 5 members of just, you know, if it's Southfield people and so on and so forth, and they determine whether any reduction is called for or not. And it's quite simple. If you don't get what you want at that point, then you have the right to go to the Michigan Tax Tribunal. But I focus primarily, or I should even say exclusively, on commercial property. The rare exception is someone that is a multi-residential unit owner. You know, he's got 20, 30 homes. There it pays for me to jump in, and I have several of those clients. But I mean, generally, the argument that you would make, that I would make, whether it is residential, whether it is commercial, you know, it all comes down to the same argument, which is either comparables, which is simply, hey, what is my neighbor down the block paying, and why is he paying that? And the other argument that really doesn't apply to residential, but a lot more commercial, is what we call the income approach, where you can make the argument, well, sure, the guy down the block is paying the same, so I don't have an argument on comparables, but hey, he's 95% occupied, I'm 45% occupied. You know, he put in certain improvements over the past 12 months that increased the value of his property significantly. I haven't updated my property since 1978. So these are arguments that we interpose, and, you know, we've got a pretty decent track record. About 90% of the stuff that I do settles. Only about 10% go to full trial.
Okay, so it sounds very simple. Why, Stephen Poulter of Express Property Tax Appeals, do I need a lawyer? It seems like if I could do it for my house, why can't I do it for my commercial property as well?
That's a good question. And the answer to that is, for your house, definitely. For when it comes to commercial, firstly, is you're correct. You really don't need a lawyer to do this, unless it goes all the way to the tribunal. Now you're in a court environment, you need to be an attorney. So you're right. All the way through until it gets to the tribunal, don't have to be an attorney per se, though you'll find that most of the people doing this work are attorneys. And the reason for that is because we know the lay of the land. We understand the tribunal tax rules and how they operate and how they think and what they do. You know, we got some tricks up our sleeve. There's also a big part of this is really, as I'm sure you know, I'm sure your listeners know, and people, you know, that's just the way of life, whether we like it or not. It's who you know, not what you know. And so when you've got certain relationships with certain city assessors, that goes a long way in achieving your end goal. And that's a lot of it. So someone like myself that does so many of these and has done it for a decade, you know, I know many assessors, and they're willing to give me more the time of day than they would Rabbi Finman. And that's a big part of this. But besides that, like I said, we know the laws, we know the rules, we know what has to be done, how. You know, there's a lot of formalities that the average individual wouldn't know where to turn, how to do it, where to go, what types of forms you got to file, when you have to file them. You get a mailing back. You know, it's Chinese to the average layperson when you get something from the tribunal. What's it saying? What does it mean? What's a pre-hearing calendar call? All these different kind of, you know, really legalese or legal language. So we're better able to address that, understand the entire industry much better, have better relationships with either the assessor or the tribunal, and get things done better, quicker, easier. And the fact is, after all, when you bring in a lawyer, there's a certain sense that things will get done, and whoever your opposition is, whether it is an assessor or whether it is an outside counsel that the assessor or the city has retained, there's much better communication. There's a greater sense of respect, if you will, and so they will be talking and they will be communicating. So,
okay. Would you say that the presence of a lawyer is somewhat of an intimidating factor in the procedure, and that's why one would have it?
Well, no.
Let me explain. If this person has a lawyer, that means he must be really serious. So we have to give this proper attention rather than just if the guy shows up himself.
Right. So in the case, you know, in the case of residential, I actually tell people don't hire an attorney. That's actually interesting you raise, because that's another benefit. Besides saving money, you don't want to come in crying, begging for a $1,000 reduction, and here you can hire an attorney. So that's just practically, that's not a wise approach. You're better off going in looking kind of indigent. You know what I'm saying?
I should be wearing rags when I go in. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But in the case of commercial, I wouldn't say it's an intimidation factor. I would say, you know, a lot of commercial property owners don't want to bother or deal with it. They outsource these types of things. If you're looking at a property owner manager like Friedman or Farbman, they've got in-house. They're that big that they've got in-house. So that's, you know, they're doing their own thing. So correct. They've got a staff of however many that do this pretty much full time. But if you're talking about your average Joe down the street that owns one or two commercial properties, you know, it doesn't pay for him, like I said, to jump into it, not knowing exactly. It's much better to go to someone like myself who has the expertise, the experience, the knowledge, the know-how, and it just makes more sense. Even more so, especially the fact that you know, I don't charge. This is not any upfront out of pocket to the client. I do a free analysis of the property. I'll let you know if there are any savings to be had and what they may look like. If you want to move forward, all you'll have to do is write out a very nominal check for a filing fee to the state of Michigan, anywhere from $250 to $600. That depends on what the value of the property is and what we're protesting. They have a certain threshold, up to $250,000, then $500,000, and above $500,000. So it's anywhere from between $250 and $600, you write a check to the tribunal, and that's it. I do everything else. Yeah, if there's expenses here and there, you know, standard legal expenses, you're talking about, you know, phone, copy, travel, but that's usually, I mean, it's almost non-existent. The only time you pay me is once I win money for you.
Okay, so it's on a contingency rather than...
Correct.
Okay, now, let's talk some philosophy here. Okay, so the initial step is a person goes to, let's say they have a property in Oak Park. So they go to this Oak Park board, which you said is comprised of most likely residents of Oak Park. Now I'm thinking me, for example, if I would be on that board and I own a house in Oak Park and I pay Oak Park taxes, I'm going to have sort of like a slanted eye to giving you a tax break as a commercial property owner who most likely does not live in Oak Park. You're just investing there. Because if you pay more taxes, then I don't have to. So how is it then that we get around such a philosophy, Stephen Poulter?
Interesting. So you're very correct. You made that distinction. If you are an investor, you are probably not going to see a dime of reduction at the Board of Review level. As a homeowner, you know, most of these boards are fairly reasonable. And as a homeowner, as a homestead, if it makes sense and if it adds up, they will give you not necessarily what you're looking for, but they'll give you some reduction. If you're an investor, you have several properties there in Oak Park, and you're looking for a break, don't expect it at the Board of Review. However, you are still required to go to the Board of Review. You see, the thing is residential. You must first always go to the Board of Review in order to preserve your appeal at the tribunal level. In commercial, there is no such requirement to go before the Board of Review. You may go directly to the tribunal. And so I tell all my clients who are, like I said, 90% commercial, let's not even waste our time at the Board of Review because it's for all intents and purposes, it's futile. We go straight to the tribunal, and that's been always the case. I can tell you one exception in all my years I've been doing this where I felt that the Board of Review would, in fact, give the reduction right there and then, and I was absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
We got it at the Board of Review. But generally, no requirement, and I don't do it. But in residential cases, you always must go, and if you don't get your, you know, redress, then, of course, at least you preserve your right to appeal to the tribunal.
Okay, these tribunals are county level, or is this Lansing we're talking?
No, this is Lansing. This is Lansing.
Okay, now, so you mentioned before that you have, as a lawyer involved with this process, that you have made connections with assessors and people involved, but looking at your website, I see that you're not, and people listening here are just not in Michigan. You're in the surrounding states as well. How far of a web have you been able to extend, Stephen Poulter, of Express Property Tax Appeals?
Right, so I like to say I spread throughout the Great Lakes states, as you see on the website, you know, I guess, Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio. I can't say I've had much of my business there. Of course, again, 80% has been Michigan, and that's just fine. I think I've done two in Kentucky, and I've done one in Illinois, all of which have settled, so I didn't have to go to their equivalent of whatever the tribunal there is. But, so overwhelmingly, it's been Michigan, and that's quite fine because it's been, quite busy. So.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's walk us through the process now. So I have properties, and I get sticker shock from the tax bill, tax assessment that I get coming up sometime in February, and I go, oh, no, I can't pay this. What do I do now, Stephen Poulter?
Okay, so you would call Stephen Poulter, and I would ask for you to either email or fax over your assessment. I will take a look at it. I will do a quick analysis with whatever software I maintain, and thereafter I will let you know whether I believe there's any savings. I'll also ask for income expenses of the property and some basic questions like vacancy, occupancy, and improvements and the like. And I will let you know based on that if I feel that there are savings to be had and what they may look like. Thereafter, you can, you know, make the call if you want to proceed further or not. And if so, like I said earlier in the interview, it would be simply a nominal filing fee to the state of Michigan. And then what happens is we file what's called a petition, and takes about, it's a little long, I mean, because that date for commercial property filings, tax appeal filings, is May 31st. That's the deadline. So if you're looking at a May 31st date, you're looking to hear back from the tribunal probably nowhere before June 30th. And what they do is they send you back, if you will, a confirmation of receipt, but it's really a docket number. They assigned a number to it. Now you've got to go, and you've got to serve this docket number along with your petition on each of them to seven different entities. That's how.
This sounds like a headache.
Bureaucratic, right? And three of the seven have to be by certified mail. So you got to send it to the assessor and the clerk by certified, and then you got to send it to the equalization, county clerk, state of Michigan, Department of Treasury. It's a mess. Yes, it is, and it's costly too. I mean, not when I'm doing it, it feels like it's costly because it's so many. But I'm saying, you know, when you figure a couple of certifies and you send it out, then they have 30 days or so to, of course, answer, and they go ahead and answer. So now you're going way into August, maybe September.
Mm-hmm.
Thereafter, you basically begin, like in any standard litigation, discovery. And you can request information from the city. They can request information from you, vice versa. The tribunal also will begin to process the paperwork and usually get you what we call a pre-hearing calendar call when your case will be on for pre-hearing and then trial. The tribunal right now is backed up anywhere between 18 months and 2 years.
18 months and 2 years. By that time, I've already gotten two more assessments on my property.
That's correct. But what happens is, once you file it, you're good to go. I just have to motion every subsequent year, and it's quite simple and quick and not very costly. It's like half the price of basically doing a full appeal. And it's once you get that which we seek at the tribunal level, it applies to all the years. So you will get a refund, et cetera, et cetera. But generally, you know, thereafter, I mean, I usually pick up the phone about October, November time, when all the dust has settled and everything's been filed, and now we're in discovery phase. And I call all my opposition and I say, hey, boys, let's talk. You know, now's a good time, I think. And usually they'll say, well, okay, you know, now is not good. Call me in a week or two. Now is not good, this, that, and the other. Or it's great, but I need to still see from your client X, Y, and Z. And we'll get that, whether it's, like, say, like said, things like income expense sheets and appraisals if they've done any recently, et cetera, et cetera. And that's basically what happens. And usually, like I said, by the time, you know, this time of year comes around, I've settled at least 50 to 60% of my cases that I filed last May. I still have, you know, from 2015, probably less than 10 cases, and that's out of 30. You know, so, you know, I'm hopeful that I will settle those fairly soon in the next 30 to 60 days. Some municipalities drag their feet, so they're a little slower, and you can't twist their arm till they're ready to get to it, especially now that they're doing assessments over the next 30 days. Probably won't get much done. But by March, April, you know, I should be able to wrap those old ones up and start, of course, with the new ones, which I'm in the hot season now with. So.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay. So now, so we would say then, I would assume then you should recommend to your clients that during this process they continue to pay the taxes as requested?
Yes. 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 They must, sure.
Okay.
They
now,
and if they do a refund, they get the refund. As soon as I settle, 30 days later, the municipality is required to send refund checks, and they absolutely do every time like clockwork. Some will take 60 days, but we don't, you know, it is what it is. You know, Detroit's in a little more disarray. That's a city that you can't, it takes a lot more to get things done generally, especially when it comes to refunding money in a city that's bankrupt. But be that as it may, they're still, you know, they're slow in coming, but they do come. It works out okay. By the way, I meant to finish up earlier that if, you know, we don't settle, then of course it goes to trial. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that can take, like I said, because I said 18 to 24 months from time of first filing in May. So, you know, if I have something that doesn't settle now in the next little bit, I'll probably be in court, next October through December on those cases.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. So nothing happens in a day. What about the, you said you mentioned something about appraisals. Is this like if I was buying a house, I have to have an appraiser come in for the mortgage company to say, yeah, we'll lend you that money, like a full-fledged appraisal that costs several hundreds of dollars?
Right. So the answer to that question is as follows. Generally, you know, when I'm negotiating, they may or may not ask for an appraisal. Even if they do, it doesn't mean that they're requiring an appraisal. They're simply saying, hey, did your client do an appraisal in the last year or two? If so, we'd like to see it. Rarely will they require or twist your arm to go out, especially in the case of commercial property, where you're not talking a couple of hundred, you're talking a couple of grand. So most municipalities are reasonable. I don't know if I should or shouldn't name on radio two of the worst cities in this state.
We don't need to.
Huh?
We don't need to.
Okay.
Because those people who have their properties in those, they have their properties in theirs, and there's nothing they can do. You can't move your building.
Right. They're just very, very difficult to deal with. The assessor, the whole, you know, even the council that they hire is just as nasty as the city. It's like impossible. But luckily, Oak Park and Southfield is not them.
Okay. Fair
but
enough.
But generally, so most of the time, except for those two exceptions, the cities won't really bust your chops and make you really go out and get an appraisal unless it goes to the tribunal. If it goes all the way to trial, then not only will the city require it, the tribunal itself wants to see what they call valuation disclosures. It's another way of saying an appraisal, really. And you want to get that because when you're going to trial, you want to be prepared. So obviously, it makes sense on everyone's side. So yes, that is an expense that the commercial property owner has to be ready for. But it's so rare, like I said, I go to trial less than 10% of the time that I wouldn't really be concerned. Most of the time they ask, do you have some sort of appraisal? Did your client do something? You know, maybe he did do some sort of bank loan in the past year or two and he's got an appraisal anyhow. Let's give it a, you know, let's take a look at it. Maybe he has some sort of, you know, they do some of these Thomas Duke and you know, these type of real estate brokerage type operations. They do what's called, it escapes my mind, but if you will, a truncated an appraisal, which you can get for like $500 even on a commercial property, which in many ways will appease and be enough to accommodate purposes of, opposition counsel to settle.
Okay, that's going to do it. So how do people get in touch with you, Stephen Poulter of Express Property Tax Appeals?
Yeah, so 855-LOW-TAX-9, that's one option. I also have a direct, you know, local phone here in Detroit, which is 248-213-6800. Or they can always go online, which is 855-LOW-TAX-9, or even if they are so inclined to do it the long way and type up expresspropertytaxappeals.com, if they want to punch in all that, they'll get me too.
Actually, I typed in just, I forgot the 855 part. I just punched in low tax 9 and it came up.
Oh. Okay. You know what? You're right. I think you're right. I think I actually bought all the domains, but yes, you're probably right.
You got it covered, Stephen Poulter. Okay, we want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you do and being part of the Jewish Hours family of sponsors.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Stop paying more than your fair share of property tax now. I'm Stephen Poulter, attorney at law and president of Express Property Tax Appeals. Right now, your commercial property tax assessments are in the mail. Like many commercial property owners, you're probably paying unnecessary and exorbitant property taxes, potentially costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Express Property Tax Appeals can help. I recently reduced one of my clients' property tax values by $2 million, realizing $250,000 in real tax dollar savings. I can do the same for you. If you're a commercial property owner, manager, or broker and are tired of paying more than your fair share of property tax, call Express Property Tax Appeals now at 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. That's 855-LOW-TAX-9 or online at lowtax9.com. You have nothing to lose except your looming property tax burden. I'm Stephen Poulter with Express Property Tax Appeals, and I look forward to saving you money on your property taxes.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park is something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herr Schulfenman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have a PSA for you. Next Sunday, that's February 28th, from 10:30 to 1, you go at noon after it's an open house, the JARC, Center for Autism and Rehabilitative Services, open house, all ages welcome, light refreshments. You should reply to www.jarkcenter.com. Let them know that you're coming. It is located at 30301 Northwestern Highway, Suite 300. And for more information, call 248-488-7564. The JARC Rehabilitation, the JARC Center for Autism and Rehabilitative Services. Ooh, this is big time. Okay, is your organization having some kind of function that you would like people to know about? Send it to www.rabbifinman.com, and we'll announce it here as a public service announcement to serve the public, announcingly so. We have, for your listening pleasure, this is the one and only Dudu Fisher, and the song is called A Cantor's Tear.
Neshama, oy neshama, shenatata bi, tehora, tehora hi. Oyata, berah.
ata meshamra bekirbi oy 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 ata berata ata yetzarta ata nefachtavi ata meshamra bekirbi oy beata
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have up now, this is Wolf Krakowski, and he's doing a piece called the Anamalika Nacht von Amal, which means the old night.
Diesen Vergeit in tiefe Wälder. Der Ofen spannt auf Bargenhof, hielt in dem schwarzen Hand die grüne Felder. Gedenkst dir, liebe mein, den Echt, den Amor, hielt in dem schwarzen Hand die grüne Felder. Gedenkst dir, liebe mein, den Echt, den Amor. Aqual mit Klangen, es zieht dahin, hat Säuberkopf, mir sind in stiller Heid, ahingegangen. Gedenkst dir, liebe mein, den Echt, den Amor, mir sind in stiller Heid, ahingegangen. Gedenkst dir, liebe mein, den Echt, den Amor. Dieselbe Zweigen mit Blättergrüne und dazu, ich wollte das so gewollt, sich überzeugen. Zu dir gedenkst noch ein, den Echt, den Amor. Ich wollte das so gewollt, sich überzeugen. Zu dir gedenkst noch ein, den Echt, den Amor. Das ganze Dorf ist angekommen.
Dynamo gedenkst die wie Azoi, mir pflegen hoffen. Gedenkst die Liebe mein, die Nacht fin Amor.
You or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. We have time for one more. I can hear my second grade teacher just like putting it into my head. Purim is about a month away, so let's play something Purim. This is a group called Kinderlach, which means little kids. I suppose it's because it's comprised of little kids, and it's a Purim medley.
Me, share, me.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got a little time for insights into the portion of the week, which is Ki Sisa. There's a lot of focus on the golden calf in this portion, understandably so. It takes up pretty much, I would say, 40%, if not more, of the portion. In the aftermath of the golden calf, Moses pulls out what I would call a trump card. I don't play bridge, so I don't know if you say the trump card, the nope trump card, whatever it is. It's not Donald Trump. No, we're not talking that at all. He pulls out this, like, the all stops. Just everything goes. He is just like, he's on the attack because the Almighty has threatened to wipe out the entire Jewish people. And Moses, as what a real leader is, doesn't care about himself. We talked about that last week. But cares about the security of his following, the needs of his following. What does he do? Moses reveals to us a very big secret, that if you want to get Hashem on your side, if you want to get God on your side, there's something called the 13 attributes of mercy. And if a person elicits these 13 attributes of mercy, which are found in chapter, I think it's like 35. I don't have the verse in front of me. That starts Hashem, Hashem, God, God. You are God. You are merciful and gracious. And gives a whole list of like 11 more things there. And God says, oh, all right. I wouldn't do it like to say all the time is like you like have to get to a point A to point B and just go, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanan erech apayim. No, I wouldn't necessarily do that. But we do it on a regular basis, for example, when we're praying in order to elicit God's divine mercy on us. Because God's mercy just oversees everything. Let's talk, for example. There are commandments that are commanded to us. The commandments, the word mitzvah means a connection. And when a person makes a connection, everything's great. But when they do something to break that connection, what really, technically speaking, should happen is the person should just drop dead right there. When we appeal to divine mercy, and it is only by divine mercy the person doesn't just collapse right there, having cut himself off from his life force, we're superseding the level of godliness known as the commander, the Baal HaRatzon, and going to the level of Ratzon, going to the Baal HaRatzon, to the one whose will and desire it comes from. Meaning that these 13 levels of godliness, of mercy, are the greatest way we have to relate to the Almighty. Now, that doesn't mean you could say, listen, you know what, I'm going to do something wrong and I'm going to go read this verse and everything's going to be fine. Because God doesn't do that. God doesn't, if a person says, Echta ve'eshuv, I will sin and I'll repent later. I know God's going to repent me. God says, no, not so fast. I think God knows his customers. But rather, we should know that the Almighty is so merciful. Not to get scared A person did something wrong. We understand everybody's fallible. Pick yourself up, make amends, go forward. Don't get depressed. Don't become despondent. God loves you. That's the bottom line. Best thing? Always do the right thing. Speaking of the right thing, we're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? www.rabbifinman.com. You'll find right on the homepage, you'll find a contact link. You'll also find archived editions of the show. Missed some of this show, previous five shows or so. Well, they're all on rabbifinman.com. Want to have a Jewish Hour marathon? Well, go to iTunes, Stitcher, or jcastnetwork.com. And every show that's been broadcast since 2009 is there, but thanks to modern technology. It would have been earlier if they would have had the technology, but that's when the technology became available. What else will you find? Archived editions of other things that I do. Go check it out. Don't let me to explain it. Just go look yourself. You also have the very important donations page. We are at February 21st. The month is up next week. We need your help. March, 20 years that we're on. We'll have to do our March membership drive like we do every year, but don't wait till then. We might not make it to March at this point because we need your help. Go to rabbifinman.com. Click on the donations page. There's lots of numbers to choose there. You don't like those, choose a different number. It's all very safe and secure. If you have a PayPal account, the whole thing takes 30 seconds. I did it myself, actually, just to check it out. And you can even make it so that it's reoccurring so you don't have to worry about it. So if you can't do a larger donation, how about $20 a month? How about $10 a month? And just have it reoccurring. And that way, you help can have Detroit's only Jewish radio program. And believe me, on the World Wide Web, there really aren't many Jewish radio programs that you can just say, here, I want to hear. We're there. We get people, we get answers, responses from all over the world. And people like you. So go do it today. Don't like doing it that way? Fine. Send me a line to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. There was once a student of Menachem Mendel of Kotsk. He was a very famous rabbi in the 1840s, I would say. He had, I don't know, somewhere 30, 40, 50, 60 students who all became rabbis. They all became Hasidic leaders. There was one whose name was actually Rabbi Avram Bornstein. And there is a Bornstein in town, so I wonder maybe he's related to him. He owns Bornstein's book, used to be a sponsor way back when. He's the Sacharshava Rabbi. When he was a kid, he got sick. His father went to Menachem Mendel of Kotsk and said, my son is so sick, and he's such a good student. He's so diligent. And the Kutzker said, you call that? That's not even half of what learning should be. He was very taken aback. When he went home, his son was already feeling much better. And he said to his father, what did the Rebbe say? He didn't want to tell him, but the son pushed him and told him what he said. He said, what's the deal? There's a Gemara that says that when Rebbe Tarfon was sick, they tried to pray on his behalf, and they said that he had such honor for his mother that when his mother would walk outside in the rainy season, he would walk with his hands underneath her feet so that her feet shouldn't get muddy. And someone responded, that wasn't even half of what he should do in order to honor one's mother. Why? Because if a person's job is done, if they're doing everything they need to do, there's no reason for them to stick around. So he thought this was brilliant. He went back and told Menachem Mendel of Kotsk, and he said, your son is already guessing what I mean. Okay, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much. for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care. Ha-shibor zosein simcha chatam.